When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kesselring carries it across, drops one, shot, score! Dylan Gunther lights the lamp! Utah on the board first!
That is the voice of ESPN NHL play-by-play voice Bob Wischusen calling the first goal in the history of the Utah Hockey Club on Tuesday night. Bob is the special guest this week on the newest edition of the Sports Media Watch podcast. Welcome back to the show. I'm John Lewis. Don't forget to subscribe to the SMW podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Before we get to our special interview with Bob Wischusen, let's talk about some of the sports media topics of the week, and we'll start with what's going on with Diamond Sports and Major League Baseball. I'm sure many of you are aware that Diamond Sports last week has said that it will only be moving forward with its current deal with the Atlanta Braves after this season. Not necessarily that it will exit the MLB business, but that any future deals with other teams would have to be renegotiated. Well, Major League Baseball on Tuesday has made its decision regarding several of those teams, saying that it will be taking over the broadcast rights of the Brewers, Guardians, and Twins starting next year. Now, the Texas Rangers are also leaving Diamond Sports Group as well. So that's four teams that will not be on Diamond next year. Still don't really know what's going to be happening with the remaining teams, but Major League Baseball is the lifeblood of RSNs. I don't really know how Diamond is expecting to, you know, move forward with seven or eight teams. I don't even think it would be seven or eight teams because they were already down to 10, right? I mean, at a certain point, you don't have enough MLB teams to remain a going concern. Because Major League Baseball, MLB, is the lifeblood of RSNs. The NBA, one, NBA teams don't rate as well in local markets as MLB teams do. But beyond that, the NBA gives so much of its inventory to national TV that there's really not a lot left for RSNs to begin with. MLB is where it's at. You have to have Major League Baseball teams. And I don't know. To me, I just don't see what's going on the MLB side as being an indication that Diamond Sports is going to survive. Now, let's bring in what John Arand reported this week about ESPN really wanting to get into the local rights game on the MLB side. That negotiation, ESPN opting out of its current MLB deal and presumably negotiating a new one, that's still to come. The sense that I got from reading the Arand article is that ESPN is not too pleased about the amount of money that it's paying for MLB, given, you know, the ridiculous rights fees that MLB is getting from streamers like Apple and Roku. I mean, ESPN is paying hundreds of millions of dollars for rights that Roku's paying like $10 million for. So, obviously, ESPN wants more bang for its buck, and local rights can be a way to achieve that. Right now, you have MLB in control of six teams' local rights. That's not enough to do anything with. And it's the Guardians, Brewers, Twins, Diamondbacks, Padres, and Rockies. These are, you know, the Guardians are definitely a strong team locally, or at least they were back in the day. You know, the Guardians, they have a following, obviously, but these are small market or mid-sized market teams and not necessarily ones that rate too well to begin with. So you can't do anything with this. This is not enough. If MLB is able to get more rights from the teams that have been dropped by Diamond Sports, maybe. But without the Mets, without the Yankees, without the Dodgers, You know, I mean, what are we talking about here? Right now, the teams aren't there yet. But certainly that's the direction things are going in. A lot is in flux right now, including the name of these Diamond Sports-owned RSNs. Right now known as the Bally Sports RSNs, seems like they're going to be named the FanDuel Sports RSNs, basically FSN. It's going to be FSN again, everybody, but I don't know. There's not enough programming there. You're going to be losing NBA inventory with the new NBA deal. You're not going to have a sufficient number of baseball teams. It kind of feels like rearranging deck chairs or maybe renaming the deck chairs on the Titanic right now for Diamond Sports. All right, a few other things for this week. How about Shams Charania joining ESPN as its new NBA insider, replacing Adrian Wojnarowski? You know, Shams and Woj were perceived for years to be these rivals, and certainly I have no idea whether or not they had a contentious relationship or not, but certainly they were the two NBA insiders of note. Now Shams is going to be assuming that role. Shams is 30 years old. You know, you talk about Woj kind of maybe burning out a little bit at 55. I would think that Shams at his age probably could do this role for a long time before he starts to feel the yearnings to do other things that Wojnarowski has experienced. Shams is more player friendly than Woj, who was much more in tune with the thoughts of executives and organizations. And look, when all is said and done, if it's not going to be Wojnarowski, you can't really do any better than Shams. I think Shams doesn't have the same level of respect that Woj has in the industry, you know, which is as much as anything a function of being younger. We'll see what happens. I think it was the only sensible move. All the other trial balloons about, oh, well, we'll get Jeff Passan. Oh, well, you know, we'll give Adam Schefter more work. None of that made sense. Let's quickly make a note of the MLB playoff numbers so far. Excellent start to the postseason, driven primarily by the New York Mets, who as of this taping are up 2-1 on the Philadelphia Phillies and on the brink of their first trip to the NLCS since 2015. They have been the driving force behind the ratings so far. Game one against the Phillies, nearly 5 million viewers on Fox on a college football Saturday. And then game two, 3.5 million on an NFL Sunday. Obviously, there's some energy behind the Mets that isn't even behind the Yankees right now. The Mets are the secondary team in their city. The teams that are the secondary team in their city are not necessarily great draws, even if the market is big. The White Sox, the Clippers, you know, the Angels, the Ducks, these are not big name teams in terms of TV ratings. But the Mets are the exception. The Mets are the number one secondary team. Like, obviously, you want the Yankees. But if you can't get the Yankees, getting the Mets is not like getting the Clippers instead of the Lakers. You get the Clippers instead of the Lakers, or the Nets instead of the Knicks, that's a massive disappointment. You get the Mets instead of the Yankees, you can still do really well in the ratings. You go back to the 1999 run by the Mets, obviously, you did not make the World Series that year, but that series against the Braves was a massive hit. You know, everybody thinks about the Boston-New York series in 2003 and 4. Mets-Braves was on that level. It was on that level. And if it had gone the full seven, who knows, with New York trying to come back from 0-3 down, what kind of a number that game seven would have drawn. The Mets are that kind of a draw. They're not quite the Yankees. But I'll put it this way. In this postseason, this year, if I'm Fox and I can only have one, I want the Yankees, obviously, right? But I'm not crying any tears if I get the Mets. Like, obviously, I want the Yankees one because the NL is so stacked with big market teams. You get the Yankees on one side, even if you don't have the Mets, you have the Phillies, you have the Dodgers, even the Padres. Granted, 98 didn't do so well, but like any series with the Yankees in it because the NL is so stacked will be a hit. But, you know, you get the Mets in there against Cleveland, against Detroit, against Kansas City. I mean, we saw the Mets against Kansas City less than a decade ago, and it was a more than respectable draw. And that was without the Mets having any particular magic behind them that year. So to me, yeah, if you can only get one, you want the Yankees, but not by as much as you'd think. I mean, to me, if I'm Fox, and I can only get one, the Yankees by a hair. I might even think if things were more even on the AL, if the AL had a few more draws than all these AL Central teams, I might even say I'd prefer the Mets. They've got something behind them this year. They've got energy behind them. And frankly, you know, it's been 15 years since the Yankees last won a World Series. Even the Lakers didn't have a drought like that, right? When they won in 2020. It's been 15 years. The Mets, they're the number one draw right now this MLB postseason. Let's now switch gears for our interview today. Joined this week by Bob Wischusen of ESPN. Spoke with him on Monday as he was flying out to do Tuesday's NHL season opener from Utah. The first game in the history of the Utah Hockey Club used to be known, of course, as the Phoenix Coyotes. And Bob and I discussed his role on the NHL and much more in a conversation that I hope you enjoy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, very pleased today to be joined by ESPN play-by-play voice Bob Wischusen, who is getting ready for the start of the National Hockey League season. He'll be in Utah on Tuesday, calling the first game in the history of the Utah Hockey Club, and then it's on to Nashville for an ESPN Plus exclusive on Thursday. So, one of the busiest people in all of sports TV, college football, NFL, NHL, this has got to be your craziest time of year, am I correct?
Yeah, I think it is the craziest when everything overlaps. So, yeah, Jets radio, college football, hockey, when it all kind of intersects at the same time, it definitely is the craziest time. But it's fun. Nobody wants to hear me complain about my job, and I'll be the last person to complain about my job. So get to go to games for a living. So it's not too bad.
Yeah, and obviously this is kind of a historic game for the NHL, the first game in Utah. It's also, believe it or not, a lot of people might not realize this, the midway point of this deal with ESPN and Turner. This is year 4 of 7. And so you've been doing the NHL now for 4 years. What has that been like for you in terms of becoming so associated with the National Hockey League, whereas previously you were really mainly known for football?
It's been amazing. I'm shocked that people in such a quick period of time have been kind enough to associate me with hockey. You know, I was a hockey voice just in the New York area for a brief period of time, even just as a backup guy. That was kind of my entree into play-by-play in the early 2000s on Rangers games, radio, and a little bit of TV. Kenny Albert, Sam Rosen had a lot of other responsibilities. They would miss some games for MSG. I was offered the opportunity to kind of fill in when they would miss. And I would do from, say, 2001 to about 2007 or so, 25-ish Rangers games a year, mostly on weekends because those guys would have football responsibilities before ESPN hired me as someone to do football. So I was only back then doing Jets games on the weekends, but not a lot of hockey on NFL football Sundays. So I would do a lot of Friday and Saturday Rangers games and then zip back in to do a Jets game on Sunday. Then when I got hired full-time by ESPN, it was almost like ships passing in the night. The NHL rights went to NBC and left ESPN as I became a full-time ESPN employee. I always hoped and dreamed that ESPN would get the NHL back. I never really dared to wish it would be true until about 4 years ago when it was kind of in the wind that, oh, this might happen. And the minute I heard it was on ESPN's radar, I certainly let them know that it was on my radar and I wanted to be a part of it. They made me a part of it and it's been a blast. And it's as much a favorite of mine as anything that I do.
And speaking of which, you do so many things. We've mentioned football. We've mentioned, obviously, hockey. You've done the NBA for ESPN as well. You've done baseball for NBC going way back on the sidelines. Is there anything that you haven't done at this point in your career that you've had an interest in, anything on the horizon?
On the horizon, though, I mean, I think the only thing that I probably haven't done that I would love to do at some point is the NFL on television. That's not something that anyone has ever offered me the chance to do or I've had an opportunity to do. But of course, that's the biggest and most paid attention to property, right? Like, if you look at the television ratings for the NFL, and any broadcaster worth his salt wants to be on the biggest and most paid attention to games and feel like you're at the center of the sports universe. And what has the NFL become over the last 10, 15 years, but the center of the sports universe? So that would be a lot of fun. But no, I've called NFL football, college football, obviously, high school football. I've called NHL college and high school hockey. I've called Major League college and high school baseball. I've called NBA college and high school basketball. I've called, geez, figure skating. I've called dog frisbee. I've called archery. I mean, you know, you name it. I've probably at some point been asked to do it. So, there's not a lot that I at some point haven't had my hand in. But I'm really happy with all the things I'm doing now as well.
Well, let's get to that NFL job that you do have as the voice of the Jets. This is such an interesting job because doing local sports is always so different than national, but doing local sports in New York City has to be a different level entirely. Can you speak to what that role is like and the relationship you have with the fans as a local broadcaster in New York versus your national roles?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's different. It's where I'm from. I was born and raised in suburban New York City. So born and raised as a fan of New York sports. I was in high school when WFAN came on the air. So New York sports radio is a part of my DNA. That was where I always wanted to work, and I was eventually hired there. My first job in television was at Madison Square Garden, working for MSG Network. So outside of the first job that I had out of college, which was 3 years in Miami on all sports radio down in South Florida, I've never left New York City. I've always been either, you know, working with the Jets, working at WFAN, working for MSG. I mean, it's always been where I've been. And so it's really nice to be identified with one of the New York teams because it keeps me kind of front and center in the place that I have been born and raised and always identified with. If I only worked for ESPN and I was only a national voice, which what's wrong with that, right? That's obviously a great job to have as well. But I wouldn't have, you know, a little bit of a toehold and an identifiability with the fans of a team that's right in my backyard and a team that I grew up rooting for. So that's a lot of fun. And there's also a uniqueness for myself and Bob Papa, who are the radio voices of the two New York football teams. We are the voices that the fans identify with for our teams because we're the only voices of those two teams. There is no television voice for the Jets and Giants because there is no local television voice for the NFL. Every NFL game is somehow tied to a national television package, you know, similarly to college football, right? Like, I'm going to call Tennessee, Florida this week for ESPN. There's no TV voice for Florida football. There's no TV voice for Tennessee football. So if you're a Vols fan, if you're a Gators fan, you identify with your radio voice. That's who you grew up with. That's your local voice. So football has a, you know, a different kind of relationship, radio voice to the fan base, because you're it. You're the voice of the team. So that's always been fun. Jet fans have always been really, really nice, really supportive with letting us know that they, you know, a lot of times turn down the TV volume, turn us up, bring their headphones to the games, listen to the highlights after the games are over. You know, they've been wonderful over the years telling us how much they support our broadcasts.
Yeah, and of course, you do interact with the fans on social media. Sometimes you'll kind of give them a little bit of an elbow when they come at you a little bit, I guess, as young people might say, out of pocket. I did see the other day someone said, "I know more ball than you." And you responded to them by saying, "Well, when ESPN hires you, then I'll know to keep an eye out." What is that like, you know, when you're dealing with that social media stuff that a lot of these play-by-play voices get, like how do you handle that?
Well, just every now and then, you know, you want to have a yuck once in a while. I mean, it is sports, right? We're all, this is, I kind of look at it as somebody at the bar gives you a zinger, you throw a zinger back. And that's also where I'm from, right? Like if you're going to throw a zinger at me, like if you grew up in the New York area, if you can't laugh at yourself, you're going to have a problem because guys are going to throw zingers at you. And if from our area, if you throw something at someone, be prepared to get a little something back. And so every now and then for a laugh, you know, you're going to throw a zinger back. But to me, it's all in good fun. You'll see anytime I throw a zinger back at someone, even on social media, it's never going to be anything other than good natured. It's never going to be anything other than hopefully to elicit a laugh out of the person I throw the zinger back at. And hopefully anybody that reads it, there's never going to be anything that's going to have any venom attached to it. And right now, if you read a couple of my posts about the Jets, where I'm trying to look at, even in a 2-3 start for them, some of the positives, because I think there are some positives that they still can latch onto, how well the defense is playing. The fact that I do think at some point an Aaron Rodgers-led offense is going to find its footing. I think they're going to win some games. I think they're going to stay in this. If they win Monday night against Buffalo, they're in first place in their division. And right now there are more people calling for the coaches to be fired than there are concentrating on the fact that if they win on Monday night, they're a first place team in their division. So, you know, but read the replies and you'll see how many people are concentrating on the negative, concentrating on the positive. So I get it. But yeah, I mean, I'm always going to try to be on social media, good natured and in it for a yuck. There's never going to be anything other than that.
Yeah. Well, certainly it's difficult. That's for sure. When you are in the public eye on social, that's definitely true. Let's kind of get to the National Hockey League aspect. I mean, obviously we know the season is starting tomorrow, you know, and we're taping Monday. Obviously the podcast will be out a little bit later in the week, but you know, you've been following the league now, obviously. Things are growing in a certain direction. Big improvement for the league to be in an actual arena with the Utah Hockey Club rather than the college setting with the Coyotes. What is your sense for kind of where the NHL is right now as an observer? I mean, what the, you know, the state of the, a state of the league question.
Well, I think Utah is probably a really good microcosm for how the league is resonating with sports fans in general, because you're right, it was an untenable situation in Phoenix, playing in a college hockey arena when you can't find an actual arena to play in. They couldn't come to an agreement, but there's a tremendous amount of young talent on this team. If you look at the roster, and they've now added some veteran talent, and they are a team that many are picking to be a back-end potential playoff team. Don't be surprised if Utah makes the playoffs this year. They very easily could. But Delta Center, I believe, seats 18,000, and I believe they had 20,000 season ticket requests the day after the announcement was made that they were moving to Salt Lake City. So there, a market finds out they're getting the NHL, and overnight, they had more season ticket requests than they could fill. So every game this season is going to be packed with fans there. They packed an airplane hangar to greet the team when the players arrive. They packed the arena for kind of an introduction to the team where the players just going to walk out on stage and wave at the crowd back over the summer. They packed the place for their preseason games. So the excitement surrounding this team as a brand new franchise in a market that hasn't had hockey before, like there's no need to introduce the NHL to this market. Look at how Seattle reacted to the Kraken's arrival. They had to split their season ticket package in two because there was such demand. They couldn't give season tickets out to anyone on a 40-game basis because they would be eliminating too many fans from access to the tickets. So they had to cut the tickets in half and tell everyone, sorry, like we'll give you a 21-game package, but we can't give you 42 games because we want to give access to everyone that wants to come to our games. And then with the star power in the league, you know, the Hughes family, and the Connor McDavids and the Austin Matthews. And, you know, it's not just Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby anymore. There are obviously a wave of superstar players in this league that are you know, fantastic. And if you look at the television ratings, when teams like Dallas and Vegas, you know, are playing on a national stage, I mean, the television ratings are right there with teams like the Rangers and the Blackhawks and the Red Wings. So it's a true national league now. And there are roots and fan bases that have been raised and developed in the southern markets now, where it's not a new sport there anymore either. So it's really, really a healthy national, you know, Canadian border to southern border, East Coast to West Coast sport now. And it's everywhere you go, you see NHL gear on people in the airports and on the streets and in the windows and around, you know, all the cities where the teams are. It's a lot of fun to be a part of.
Yeah. And, you know, Bedard is an interesting aspect because when he came into the league last year, the ratings impact was very significant. But then he got hurt, and it seems a little bit like the attention kind of has gone off of him. Do you see him kind of recapturing that national interest in his second year?
Well, to capture a national interest, you have to win, right? So the fact that last year they were only ahead of the Sharks in the standings, you're going to lose some interest when your team is well out of the playoff race. They couldn't score goals either, and that was a problem. Right, they were as bad an offensive team as there was in the NHL last year, but look at what they've done and look at who they've added. Not only are they going to get Taylor Hall back this year, who is 25 to 30 goals you would think that they would add to their lineup. I mean, he tore his ACL last year, 10 games into the season. Right, what are you going to do? That's obviously bad luck. But they have added Teravainen. They've added guys to their team now that should support Bedard offensively, where if they are a different level offensive team, they're scoring goals. All of a sudden, the final scores of their games aren't 2-1 and 3-1, but 5-4. And now we get to maybe February and March, and the Hawks are playing games that matter, and they're not buried in the standings. Well, now he's going to be, obviously, by, you know, domino effect, more of a topic of conversation as well. And last year, I think also, if you look at the numbers for him, he had what you would anticipate his season to be just in terms of numbers, but he was a 25 goal scorer, but I think he scored one goal in his final 14 games. So like any rookie who gets banged around a bit, who, as you said, got hurt at some point, taken out of the lineup for a few weeks, and just the wear and tear of being kind of by yourself as the best offensive weapon in a physical league of grown men, it's hard, right? It's a hard league, and you're the focal point every night of the scouting report, right? I mean, if you're playing against that team and you want to secure 2 points and you want to make sure that one player doesn't beat you, who are you sending your best and most physical defensive weapons against? Him. Well, now they've got a little bit more balance to their lineup and a few more weapons to worry about. I'm excited to see what they look like on opening night and the rest of the year as well. So, you know, I think if they remain relevant and he gets some support, then yeah, I think we'll see him in games where, you know, there's going to be a little more conversation around the Blackhawks as a team, and that will just generate more attention around him as the season goes on.
Yeah, kind of to that point, one of the biggest stories in sports all year, obviously, Caitlin Clark in the WNBA. All the things you just mentioned kind of says to me that you couldn't replicate that in hockey because the season is too long. It's so physical. Do you think there's any way that you could have a phenom like that come into the league and have that kind of single year impact?
There probably could be, I guess. I mean, if you had a player that was Connor McDavid level dominant, but that player would have to be Connor McDavid level dominant at the age of 18. And as good as Connor Bedard is, and as much as he was the no-brainer number one pick in the NHL, he didn't come to the NHL, take a bad team, and immediately become a 45-goal scoring, 110-point, you know, player. You know, I mean, that would be Tiger Woods in golf. That would be, right, like, and Connor McDavid right now is arguably the most talented player we've ever seen in the history of the sport. Could that Could you get a player that is arguably the most talented player in the history of the sport establish himself as that, as an 18-year-old? Possible. I mean, that's almost what LeBron James was to the NBA, right? But, you know, you would have to have that. And that would really have to be the perfect storm, right, of, like, physical ability and notoriety and going to a major market and, you know, and it is possible, certainly, but, you know, that's a lot to ask. And certainly don't want to ask that of Connor Bedard. Let him go be him. And he's certainly in a major market. He's going to be a superstar. And let's let them surround him with enough talent where at some point he's going to be on the stage that he deserves to be on, because it will happen.
One more question, and this is going to be back to a you question. There's a long history, a long tradition in nationally televised hockey in this country of really well-liked, well-regarded B-team guys. So I'm talking about a Steve Levy back in the day when he'd be doing, you know, five overtime games in the playoffs, the late, great Dave Strader, and Kenny Albert, who for many years was in that secondary role behind Mike Emmerich. Obviously, you've been doing this for 4 years. You're very well-liked on social media in this role. Do you ever see yourself down the line doing the A-team, being a cup final announcer for the NHL, or is that something that's not, you know, on your mind as a possibility?
Sure, I would hope so. I mean, I think anyone that does this job strives for bigger and better and dreams at some point of being the voice of the top event in whatever sport. You know, do I lay my head down on the pillow at night at some point and dream of a player carrying the cup around and I get to be in the booth, you know, documenting that moment? Of course, who wouldn't? So, yeah, I mean, you know, now will I ever get that chance? We'll see. That's never going to be up to me. All I can do is the best job I can do calling the game and having the most fun that I can have calling the games. And I'm having an absolute blast. I hope that translates to the fans. I hope it comes through the screen. And I hope when someone comes home at the end of the day, and if they had a tough day and they've got teenagers and they don't love their job and they go through all and right, and they're having money trouble and they go through all of the things that everyone deals with in the day to day, you know, issues that everyone and that I go through with. Right. I mean, look, I'm a person like everybody else. I've got kids. I have a mortgage. I'm traveling. I'm missing the things that they do. You know, we all have drama in our lives. I'm hoping that when they get home and they have a chance to sit down, crack open a beer, flick the game on, and spend 2.5 hours kind of forgetting about everything that they have to deal with in the day-to-day drama of their life, and that becomes their escape. That what they hear coming from the game that they've chosen to watch is, boy, that guy's having fun. Because that's what it's supposed to be. Right? You're supposed to be able to get away from everything that you've dealt with from when the alarm went off at 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning until 7:30 at night. You've spent the last 12 hours dealing with life, and that's enough. And now you should, from 7:30 till about 10 o'clock at night, have a way to get away from that and put that on the back burner and let your mind escape and root for your team and enjoy a game on TV. And hopefully what they're getting when I'm calling a game from me is I'm now getting to watch something that's fun, and it sounds like that guy's having fun too. And if that's what they're getting from my broadcast, then mission accomplished. And hopefully I'm enhancing the game a little bit, documenting and engaging my analysts, and they're learning a little more from the game than maybe they knew going in as well. Because if that's the case and I'm putting my analysts in a good spot where they can teach the sport, then that's just an added layer of enjoyment for the viewer that they're getting as well. But that's my goal. And if that eventually gets noticed and recognized and leads to bigger and better things, then I will certainly be happy that that's the case.
All right. Hey, Bob, thank you so much for taking the time and best of luck with your busy schedule this week. Like I said, Utah on Tuesday, then Nashville on Thursday, then college football Saturday, and I guess the Jets next Monday. So that's a full week.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back with more stuff down the line.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.